Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. This week, the highlight has been the naming of a 17-member lawn bowls team for the Games. We'll bring you the details and speak with one of the team members, 68-year-old Games debutant Ken Hansen. What a story he has to tell. But before we speak with Cannon, as we count down with just 17 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Australia's bowls team for the Games has been announced and will boast a mix of youth and experience, with six Games debutants among the 17 bowlers named by Commonwealth Games Australia. The announcement took place at Darebin International Sports Centre, the venue for the Melbourne 2006 Games, where the Jackaroos enjoyed its most successful campaign in Games history. The 17-person squad is made up of 5 men and 5 women in the open able-bodied category, with another 7 in the para team sport division, including 2 vision-impaired bowlers accompanied by their directors and 3 bowlers with a disability. Among those selected for maiden Games campaigns are 2 reigning world champions in the open category, Aaron Wilson of New South Wales and recently crowned Tasmanian Athlete of the Year, Rebecca Van Aish. Reigning world singles champion Karen Murphy, who clinched a Games gold medal in the pairs in 2006, along with silver medals in 98 in the fours, 2002 in the singles, and 2014 in the triples, has been selected for her 5th Games appearance. Karen will equal Rex Johnson's record for the most Games appearance by an Australian lawn bowler. The team also includes international stalwart Kelsey Cottrell, who is still just 27, and as we heard in an earlier edition of Gold Coast Gold, has just returned from having a baby to make the team, 12 years after making her first Games as a 15-year-old in Melbourne. The oldest team member is 68-year-old Ken Hansen of Colac in Victoria, who will make his Games debut. What a story. And we'll speak with Ken shortly. For the full team, head to the Commonwealth Games Australia website. In hockey, the Kookaburras have qualified for the World League semi-finals after a 3-goal quarter-final blitz to clinch a 4-1 win over Spain. The Kookaburras had earlier drawn all their 3 pool matches against Germany, India and England before the quarter-final win. Congratulations to Eddie Ockenden, who notched up his 300th appearance for Australia in the draw against Germany. The Tasmanian midfielder became only just the 6th player to reach the 300-game milestone for the Kookaburras. The boys played Germany in the semi-finals. Meanwhile, Hockey Australia has announced a 25-member national senior women's squad for 2018, ahead of a massive year for the Hockey Roos. 2018 features the Commonwealth Games and the World Cup in London. In rugby sevens, the Australian women's sevens team has won the first leg of the Sevens World Series in Dubai, defeating the USA in the cup final 34-0. Australia accounted for England 29-12 and Canada 25-7 in the quarterfinals and semifinals before putting on a clinical display in the final, outgunning the Americans 6-0. The next leg of the Women's World Cup is in Sydney on the Australia Day long weekend. The Australian men's team won the 5th place final against Samoa in Dubai. The team fell into a fast-finishing England side in the quarterfinals before bouncing back to defeat Kenya and Samoa in the 5th place final. The men's series now moves to Cape Town in South Africa. In diving, 2-time Commonwealth Games rep and Delhi gold medalist Melissa Wu will miss next week's Commonwealth selection trials due to 4 bulging discs in her neck. Australia's most experienced diver will have to rely on a discretionary selection to the Commonwealth Games team after being forced to pull out of the trials. The first and second placed athletes in the 3-metre and 10-metre divisions at the trials will win selection, as long as they achieve the minimum score mandated by Diving Australia. But the selectors can use their discretion to name a third athlete for the individual events and the synchronised team. In triathlon, Ashley Gentle is leaving no stone unturned in her bid for a medal at the home Commonwealth Games, honing her preparations with a stint in the AIS Altitude House in Canberra next month. Gentle finished second in the World Series triathlon this season and is among the favourites in the women's triathlon, which will be the first medal event of the Gold Coast Games. Gentle will share the house with other members of her training group, including Games teammate Charlotte McShane and Gold Coaster Matt Hauser. In other Games news, there's been some drama off the field of play, with both News Corporation and Fairfax both threatening to boycott their coverage of the Games. The strict coverage rules imposed by the Commonwealth Games Federation are designed to protect the television rights of the host broadcaster Channel 7 and ban the use of video for traditional print media from inside the venues. Hopefully, for the sake of the athletes competing, the spat is resolved before the Games. And finally, just a handful of Pacific nations remain for the Queen's Baton Relay global journey. There are only four nations to go before its Christmas Eve arrival in Australia. In the past few weeks, the baton has been to Tonga, Papua New Guinea, the Solomon Islands, Fiji, Tuvalu and Samoa. The baton will visit the Pacific Mini Games in Vanuatu before stops in Norfolk Island and New Zealand before its arrival into Australia. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games News. On Gold Coast Gold today is one of the members of our 17-member Lawn Bowls team. And at the moment, he's going to be the oldest member of the team, and he's making his Commonwealth Games debut. What a story it is. The 68-year-old Lawn Bowler from Colac, Ken Hansen. Ken, you must be pinching yourself. You're off to the Commonwealth Games.
I have been, Dave. It's been a long journey in bowls, but a fairly quick in the disability section of bowls. Didn't happen that long ago, and to think I'm at this stage, I really do have to pinch myself at times.
It's incredible, really. So just take, you know, obviously looking at your story and done the background, but I'll let you tell it. Tell us your how you got your disability and how you got into lawn bowls.
Actually, I was born with only one arm and never knew why for a long time, but... Pardon me, a urologist about 10 years ago, he said, "You know why you've got one arm?" I said, "Not really, no." He said, "Well, what's happened when you're a very small fetus, about the size, your arm might have been about the size of a finger, it protrudes, the mother's sac, the membranes think something wrong, they contract and you lose your arm." And after he told me that, it made perfect sense because the only part of the arm that grew from then on was the bone, so had to have that cut out a couple of times.
And growing up as a youngster, have you always lived in Colac?
Oh, practically out in the country for a little while, but basically Colac nearly all my life. Had 3 or 4 years in Melbourne when I first went to work down in South Melbourne at the old repatriation department, which is now Veterans Affairs. But other than that, yes, all Colac.
And were you an active kid?
I was, yes. I had to go at all sports. As a child. Yeah, nothing held me back. I found a way to get around everything. My parents did get me fitted up for an artificial arm when I was about 11, but I hated that. It was sort of hot in the summer, cold in the winter, restricted playing football and cricket, so that didn't last for too long.
And how was it growing up in a country town as a athlete, with a young child with a bit different from everybody else?
I think, Dave... Even people say to me now, people I know for a long time, they've never considered me to be a disabled person. They just think I'm just one of them.
Yeah, just regular Ken. That's the way it should be, isn't it? We spoke to Kurt Fernley on an edition of Gold Coast Gold, earlier, and that was his experience growing up, and obviously in the wheelchair that Kurt is, he had a couple of great teachers around him that said you can do anything, and it wasn't until he got to his sort of teenagers that he realised that he wasn't going to play rugby for Australia. He just thought that anything was possible, which is the way it should be. How did you get into lawn bowls? Local rink in Colac, and you just thought you'd go down and have a crack one day?
Well, I did live just out of Colac for a while, and I lost my first wife to cancer at 34, had two young children, so I decided with my job, I spoke to my boss, we'd just amalgamated and had a big office in Colac. I said, any chance of getting a job in Colac? And within 2 weeks I was in here, which I appreciated very much. And I bought a house directly opposite our bowling club. I'm the closest member. So I'd been playing tennis up until then, and my parents come back from up in Queensland with a set of bowls for me. And that was it. Away we went.
And
32 years ago that was.
Yeah, and you've had a very, you know, long career as an elite bowler in domestic competitions, you know, in local pennant leagues, etc. And obviously you just enjoyed the game.
Loved the game. I found I was on an equal footing, I felt, with everybody. As I say, you only need one arm to bowl. And I just adapted to it fairly well. We had a very good bowler by the name of Barry Hutchison that started me off in Colac. Gave me a couple of training sessions, said, righto, off you go. So it all went from there.
And you spend a bit of time up on the Gold Coast each year, don't you?
Yes. Later years of our lives, Coral and I both, as we got close to retirement, we started off for a couple of weeks, and each year we'd use a bit of long service and make it longer. And since we both retired, I think last year was a bit over 4 months. So we live up there close to the Tweed Heads Bowls Club. So lots of bowls and know the conditions pretty well.
You're living the dream, Ken. I like it a lot.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Dream. Yeah. And how did you... So just take us through the transition of being, you know, a bowler against the able bods, just one of the rest of the crew, to someone suggesting to you that, you know, you might be able to qualify for the, you know, para sport division of bowls, and that the Commonwealth Games might be a possibility.
Yes, I think that a lot of luck comes through life, you know, just opportunities present themselves, and this one happened one day. I played pennant with Tweed Heads. They only have a short season of 7 games plus finals, and I normally played third in a rink, but one of our skippers away, and I found myself a skipper this day. When I went out to play, I'm playing against 3 Queensland state representatives, including Brett Wilkie, who is in the Jackaroos team, or in the top team this year. He's now the CEO of Bowls Queensland. And we went fairly well against Brett. We were 2 shots up with 2 ends to go, and unfortunately dropped both of them. But Brett said after we're having a drink, as you do, and he suggested having a go at the... He said, are you interested in disability bowls? I said, oh, not really, Brett. I've just found that I can play open stuff. He said, well, the Commonwealth Games are coming up. And that sort of pricked my ears a bit. He said, would you be prepared to go up to Chernside in Brisbane next week and have where they do assess you to make sure you meet the criteria? So we did that, and that all went through. And he said, I'll coming down next week, I'll bring some paperwork and you can fill it in. You had to do a resume of what you'd done through your career and what you think you could contribute to the team. So sent the paperwork in, and I don't know how much longer it was, perhaps a month or so, the 12-man squad came out, and I was absolutely thrilled to find myself amongst it.
And then this week, you get to drive to up to Darebin, stand on the rink with some of the legends of Australian bowls, legend of Australian sport and Steve Monoghetti.
Yes.
As they announced your name in the Commonwealth Games team. Did you actually have to just close your eyes and think, is this happening to me?
It does a bit, yeah. We were at a training camp at Broadbeach one day, and we stay in an apartment, and Steve Glasson sends out a text most nights, Steve being the coach of the team, that he'd go for a walk in the morning. Anyone like to join him, come down early in the morning. And I usually walk for nearly an hour each day. I thought, oh, this is a good idea. And I arrived down in the reception area, and here's Steve Glasson, Barry Lester, Australia's number one ranked bowler at the moment, Brett Wilkie, and here's little Kenny Hansen from Colac tootling along behind them. So, yeah, you pinch yourself at times to think you're in that company.
And you have a look at the women's names as well, with, you know, Kelsey Cottrell, what a story she is. She was in the Commonwealth Games team in Melbourne at 15, has just had a baby, and back at 27, Karen Murphy, world champion, Carla Krasanich, Australia's number one, Rebecca Van Aish, who's a Tasmanian sports person. The team's chock full of talent, and you're alongside them.
Yep, and And I do have to say they just treat you as one of the team. They're wonderful people to be associated with. There's no, you know, you're in that section, we're in this section. They all mix in very well and encourage each other. It's terrific.
What about your mates in the para sport division? Tony Bunnell and Joshua Thornton. So it's the triples. We've got the vision impaired division, and then we've got the triples are the two events that are on the program. We've got two vision impaired bowlers, Jake Felberg, who's a 23-year-old from Burleigh Heads, and Lynn Seymour, who's just shading you, Ken, in terms of the age stakes. She's 67 from Queensland, and they're two directors.
Last time.
What's that, sorry?
We had a chat about ages last time we're up there. Yes, I'm just a little bit senior to Lynn.
You're going to give it a big run, I reckon, for the oldest member of the team as well.
Yeah, Josh Thornton, who's in our team, we were sitting at our apartment one night, and he said, you know, Kenny, if you make the games, you could be the oldest Australian in it. And I said, oh, thanks very much, Josh. Somebody has to be.
Well, someone has to be. Someone has to be the youngest, and someone has to be the oldest. But so just tell us about Tony and Joshua and your two mates in the triples.
Yeah, I could go a little bit further and say that the whole 12 people that started off in the squad, and as it got whittled down, they were the most fantastic people I've ever met, I think. So close. We'd all play together, have a drink together, have meals together. We all shared accommodation. And while we're out there playing against each other, right, you're trying to win the games, but once it was all finished, terrific. And they're all so encouraging. And Tony and Josh, exactly the same. I consider Josh probably the number one disability bowler in Australia, as he showed by winning the open pairs with Barry Lester. And Tony's a very unassuming, quiet fellow, but he just goes about and does his job. Both very good bowlers and really good friends. And everybody that's in that group, I would say, are lifelong friends from here on in.
Well, they're going to have something to share too at the games on the Gold Coast. The disability triples, it was one, so it's been in the games on two occasions, 2002 and 2014. The South Africans won in Glasgow. The Scots won in Manchester back in 2002. There's been a couple of other different variations as well throughout the game's history. But what's your competition like? Do you know much about them? If given you've been playing so much able-bodied bowls, have you had that much exposure to what your opposition might be like?
Well, I've played two Trans-Tasmans. That's where we play New Zealand. And New Zealand and Australia know each other, I would say, back to front by now. We've played so many games. And they're very tough competition. Always have been and always will be, I think. We had a multi-nations event in June, where there's teams from Scotland, Wales, England, Malaysia, New Zealand. I may have missed one, but that was all good competition too, and we got to know a bit about what to expect from other countries, but I haven't played against South Africa or India. I'm not sure who else is in it, but they're all good competition. They're all nice people.
What do you know about the Commonwealth Games, Ken? You know, obviously you and you're growing up. Lawn bowls has been, you know, I always remember as a Commonwealth Games devotee, you think back to Rob Perella and you know, Kelvin Kirko carrying on like a pork chop in 2006 and whipping the shirt off and putting the crowd into a frenzy, and you know, Karen Murphy and Lindsay Armitage winning the pairs in Melbourne. Have you followed it closely, or have you, you know, just been a general sports fan?
I love sport. I have Fox Sport on all the time. I love any sport, but I do watch a lot of bowls, and something that's come in just recently is live streaming from a lot of the games, so I find myself sitting down watching a lot of that. I love some of the new characters of bowls. Barry Lester's fairly animated sort of a chap, and we had Kelvin there, but I'm a little bit more of the older school, perhaps. But I still do enjoy some of the antics of the bowlers of today.
And do you think, you know, what do you know about the Commonwealth Games and what it's going to be like? The village and the opening ceremony and all of those things that, you know, for younger athletes who dream of this moment, you know, from the time they first start the sport and, you know, might be making their games debut when they're, you know, a teenager or in their early 20s. You're going to be strolling out there at the opening ceremony for the first time at 68.
That's right. I watched that. Naturally, I watch all of those things, Olympics and Commonwealth Games openings and the finishing up ceremony. So just to imagine myself as part of it, it's absolutely wonderful.
What about the family, Ken? Will they be travelling up to the Gold Coast and heading out to the Broadbeach rink to watch you in action?
Yes. My wife and I stay in Tweed Head, so we've organised our accommodation earlier this year, so she'll be staying there. I've got a son and a daughter that are working out to come up, and a brother, so they're going to come up for part of it. I think my daughter's going to fly up for a few days. She's got fairly large commitments with family and work, but she's going to find a few days. And my son and brother and my grandson, they're going to drive up for a few days and then drive back. So we've got tickets for all of them.
How many grandchildren have you got, Ken?
I have five on my side of the family. Coral, we're both second time married. She has five on her side.
I tell you what, they're going to be as proud as punch when you take to the greens.
Yeah, a little plug for my grandson here. I don't think I'm the star sports person of the team. He's only 14 and he's just finished high up in his golf club at Colac. Shot four rounds in the 70s. So
wow.
I think he's the star of the team. Yeah. But he's keen to come and watch his grandfather play.
I reckon you might be selling yourself a bit short, Ken. I think you're going to be one of the... You know, I've just got this little inkling, Ken, that you are going to be one of the most popular members of the team. When you think of all the sports and the superstars of Australian sport that will be in the Australian team, you know, Sally Pearson and Kate and Bronte Campbell and our track cyclists who are so fan, you know, across all the sports, they're going to love you being in the team. And I reckon you'll love them as well. You'll meet some people that you never thought you'd come across, I reckon.
Oh, that's for sure. Yes. Really excited to get to the village and sit. I'm not sure exactly how it runs, but I believe there's a kitchen dining area not far from where we stay. So I dare say we'll be sitting up having breakfast with some of those people you just mentioned.
Yep.
Which will be great.
Yep. Colac's pretty good sporting pedigree and produced some good sporting champions. What is it about that? There must be something in the water down there.
I don't know what it is, but I'm a Hawthorn supporter and very happy to have had Luke Hodge there.
You'd be filthy that he's defected north.
Yeah, a little bit disappointed, but I don't hold that against him. He's got to think of his future. And I guess he's going to make a few bob out of it and perhaps set up a career.
I reckon they've got a new hero now, Ken, in Colac. What's the schedule between now and the games? As I mentioned when we first start the program, and this is episode 29 of Gold Coast Gold, and I do a little countdown every week where I don't talk about the number of days to go, I talk about the number of Fridays to go, and it's 17 Fridays to go to the games. What's the next 17 weeks have in store for you?
Well, we've got four training camps at Broadbeach between now and then. We go up on the 18th to the 21st of December, 4 days, and there's 4 days early January, early February and early March, and then we get up there on the 27th of March, so we've got a good week and a bit of practice before the games start. So we've got those practices. I play my pennant down here each week. I play two bowl triples most Mondays, which is the game that we play in the games, so that's plenty of practice there. And I've got my drills to do, a few championships that will happen through the break in pennant. So plenty of bowls, plenty of practice.
And what are your teammates and what are your fellow colleagues at Colac think about it all? Are they giving you a bit of ribbing or are they treating you like the rock star that you deserve to be treated like?
Well, to be honest, David, I haven't seen too many since the announcement on Tuesday. But Friday night's our usual raffles and so forth night, so I dare say I might get a little bit of ribbing tonight.
Have you got a good record?
They don't let you get it off too easy.
No, nor should they. Have you got a good record in the meat tray raffle at the Colac Lawn Bowls Club?
Oh, I think my wife and I get our shares. Yeah.
The oldest ever gold medalist, Ken, at the Commonwealth Games for Australia, and of course Australia have been competing all of them since the Empire Games back in 1930 in Hamilton. And, you know, Susie O'Neill and Ian Thorpe have won the most golds at a game with six each. And Phil Adams, the shooter's won 18 medals. Ian Thorpe's won 10 golds. That's the most. Some of the statistics. The oldest ever gold medalist is Dorothy Roach, who was 61 years and 10 months when she won a gold medal in the women's fours in lawn bowls at the 1990 Auckland Commonwealth Games. If you can be successful, you'll be the oldest gold medal winner in Commonwealth Games history for Australia. Do you think about, you know, what it might be like standing on a podium listening to your national anthem, or is this all just a bit too new to go that far?
Well, when we won the multi-nations, we got the gold medal back in June and we were on the podium where they played the national anthem. And I must admit, that was one of the biggest thrills I've had, to sing along with that. And I'm not a very good singer, but I did. It was very enjoyable, and I'm not looking that far ahead to think of being on a podium at the Commonwealth Games. It's obviously an aim to get there, but we've got a lot of work between now and then before we start thinking about gold medals.
Yeah, and that's the right way to approach it, I reckon. But sometimes, Ken, just when you put your head down on the pillow at night, let yourself just think about what that might be like to be in the green and gold on the rink at Broadbeach and with your teammates in the men's disabled parasport triples, Tony and Josh, and think, gee, wouldn't that be good just to be up there? Best wishes to you, Ken. It's really enjoyable to talk to you. We'll all be following your progress and can't wait to watch you in action on the rinks up there during the Commonwealth Games next year.
Thanks, Dave. Could I just say that the people that have looked after us, being our coaches and selectors and others, that we have one lady, Faye Luke, always getting food for us and dropping around, making sure everything's okay. We couldn't have been looked after better, no matter where or what we were doing. It's just been fabulous.
Yeah, it's
so
good.
Thank you very much.
Big team, and we're really looking forward to watching you in action. Thanks for your time today on Gold Coast Gold. Ken Hansen, who at 68 is going to make his Commonwealth Games debut. Good on you, Ken.
Thank you, David. Bye.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.